Anna Air, C. Naylor's, 29 minutes past 8 with Brian and Alpha on Pacific Breakfast. Hope your Thursday morning is going well. After playing Tane Samuels, nephew of fan favourite TK Samuels on Shortland Street in 2007, Dominic Ona Ariki took a break from screen acting. Previously had another lead role as a time-travelling Fred on the sci-fi series PET, Pet Detectives. From 2016, he became a regular on New Zealand screens, acted on Filthy Rich, played All Black Eric Rush on the the miniseries Jonah. Oh, sorry. And now has taken the lead role in local detective drama One Lane Bridge as a detective with spiritual gifts. Kia ora and a warm welcome, Dominika Ona Ariki. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
It's all good. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Hey, can we ask firstly which islands or island in the Cook Islands you're representing this morning, young man?
Atu and Rarotonga. Yeah, so my granddad's side is from Atu and Nana's side is from Rarotonga. But mum always reps Atu, so kind of got to rip Atu hard as well.
Very good. Acting, how did it all start for you? Is it like Sunday school, like so many of our Pacific, Pacific actors? Where did it all start?
I grew up in Manurewa, and my old man, who kind of seen that I was a bit of a clown, thought, oh, we'll just throw him into after school classes just down at Nathan Homestead. And then that's where it kind of kicked off. And I never thought of doing acting as a career or anything. I was probably, I don't know, maybe 11, 12 at the time. And that's where it kind of just started. My drama tutor, he saw some audition going for a film called The Legend of Johnny Lingo. And then I went and auditioned for that. Got like a little small part.
Are you one of the naughty kids that threw rocks through the
crowd? Yeah.
I recognise you from all the wrong places.
Yeah, that's the one. You're the only person who's ever said that, eh?
You're one of the little kids that wanted to grab in it. I just squeeze it down for being mean. Yeah, nice to meet you.
Hey, great to meet you. So that's kind of where that started off. Then my parents thought, oh, we'll try and find him an agent. And then everything just kind of started rolling on from there.
Nice.
And here we are.
So how long have you actually been in the acting game now, Dominic?
Oh, since 2002. Yeah. Kind of on and off. There was like a couple of years there where I went, oh, you know what, I'll go to university and do that thing, because I think I finished Shortland Street when I was maybe 17, 18, and then most kids my age, all my mates and stuff, were going to university. I was like, I better do that. And kind of just did it out of fear, really. And then finished uni, and I was like, oh, man, I don't want to do marketing and advertising. I want to go back to performing arts.
Hey, come on now.
Hey, I just, I found
that's
my thing.
That's where the best wasted years of my life was, becoming a marketer. Thank you very much. And hey, now I'm too. In radio. See how useless that was? Not about you, Alpha. Not about you and that.
So, in terms of your acting and that, what is it? What is it that you love about, being in front of either a camera or a live audience and portraying a character or, being part of a story? What is it for you?
I just get to play. That's probably the biggest thing, is like you get to play. I guess pretending to be these characters, but you also have to bring a lot of yourself to those characters as well. So I don't know if pretending would be the word, but just playing, really. On stage, I'd probably love it the most, because every night is different for every show you might do. And in the same way, you kind of get the same experience with TV. Every take might be a little bit different, but that's kind of what keeps me in it, really. Just
can
the
I
sense
ask
of
you
play.
A Dr. Phil question?
Yeah, man.
So you are not doing this because it's a form of escapism from something that happened in your upbringing.
Oh, okay.
Some actors literally play other people because it's actually quite a better way to look at the perception because of something that happened.
You nailed it, man. You nailed it. Damn, you got me. I was actually
so. Who stole your lunch money?
Oh, bro, who didn't steal my lunch money, man? I was one of the brown kids who just didn't know how to play rugby. Oh, I'll play soccer though. But it is a form of escapism because I get nervous doing these kind of things where I just have to be myself. Whereas if I have to pretend to be someone else, that feels like the safest place in the world. So like being on stage, that feels incredibly safe.
Wow.
I don't know, Ariki and One Lane Bridge in front of other people, that feels incredibly safe. But then doing this, I feel nervous.
You need a hug.
With that, tell us, you know, or maybe firstly, you know, touch on your whole Shortland Street experience and then tell us about, you know, your current project that you're involved in and what it's all about, please, Dominic.
Yeah. So with the Shorties thing, I must have been probably 15 when I booked that one. So I was still in high school and I was kind of coming in and out of high school just because at that point in time I was just booking jobs, which is great. So because Shortland Street shoots so fast, that kind of taught me that, oh man, you really have to be on every single day, because they shoot scenes back to back so quickly, so always needing to learn lines. So that was a great process in terms of
the discipline, right?
Yeah, totally. But that was also like a time where I was just mucking around, man, just really taking it for granted. So after that job finished, I went and studied. And then you just kind of got a time to reflect and be like, damn, that was actually really good. Mm-hmm. And I might have like blown a couple of opportunities there. But then coming back into it and then going for like, say, One Lane Bridge, I just didn't have any time to muck around. And I'd already kind of built that discipline up over the last couple of years. And just as you get older. Mm-hmm. So just like, I don't know, keeping fitness up, which also keeps your mental game up. And then just still being able to deliver on those jobs day to day. But usually you get heaps of downtime. I mean, I thought I'd have heaps of downtime.
I'm doing that job.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, you know what, man? I'm going to learn the guitar. I'm gonna do all these hobbies. But, bro, I had no downtime, man. Like, you're shooting every single day, almost in every single scene. Yeah.
Tell us about One Lane Bridge. What's it all about and your character?
So my character, he's a cookie. He's a cookie, he comes down from Auckland.
Stereotype.
Oh, I know. Nah, man, they wanted a Māori, eh? And I was like, ah, bro, I can give you halfway.
We were the second to last stop.
Yeah. Well, you know.
You can hang in my donut. How about we meet that way?
Yeah, so he comes down from Auckland and he learns, he kind of goes under the wing of a local cop down in Queenstown. While he's in Queenstown, someone dies suspiciously, and then they start investigating this death, and while they're investigating, he unlocks like these spiritual gifts that he has, which assists him in solving the crime. Yeah, so it's just a classic cop crime drama with a bit of a New Zealand spiritual twist on there.
How, you know, this is awesome that you are able actually to play a Cook Islander.
Yeah.
You know?
New Zealand's come of age, isn't
it? You know,
it
is showing, you know, coming of age that, you know, our people can be represented in that way as opposed to, you know, yourself maybe playing, I don't know, the bouncer, whatever. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But if you played a security guard, everyone would get in. I mean, look at the size of him. He's beautifully petite.
Yes, his shoulders are very broad indeed.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, how important was that for you that, hey, I'm actually playing a Cook Islander, and then the responsibility, I suppose, that weighs on your shoulders in terms of, you know, representing yourself, your family, and, of course, your cooking nation well?
Yeah, that was huge for me, and I think I'm still coming to the realisation of, like, the weight that holds, because I'd never been given the opportunity to play a Cook Island. Like, I played, like, a Māori and, like, a Tongan or a Samoan, so it's funny that, like, no one knew that I was cookie up until recently, you know, so I'm still kind of learning that holds weight, but to be able to be a lead but also not be put into that classic stereotype of, oh cool man, so you're going to be the security guard, or you're going to be the cleaner, you know.
I forgot that you're actually playing the lead role. I mean, that's like two big things.
Yeah, it was massive. Ooh. Yeah. So I don't know. Hopefully other people can kind of see it, especially like young Pollies, and be like, oh, yeah, man. Yeah, that's a, like, we can be that role. You don't have to be like put into a box of like, oh, these are the only roles that we can play.
So can I just ask a side question to that?
Yeah, man.
Is the person who wrote the script, is he or she Pacific Islander or?
No, so she's Papa.
Wow.
Yeah, and her partner is Māori.
Okay.
Yeah. Nice. See,
this is the importance
well.
Of having our people in various parts of the industry, writers, the producers, because then we're able to, don't have to be taught the reason why we need to hire someone and keep them for where they are. That's what New Zealand is about now. We're quite a colourful nation.
Oh, right? Exactly. And I think it's, awesome. In terms of like the writing as well, like brown writers, they just kind of, they're able to kind of capture a particular kind of language, especially with the youth. You know, there's a particular kind of language that like brownies speak. I don't know how to articulate it, but it's just that classic thing of like, if you're out in the street and you see like a brown person or whatever, you automatically feel like you know each other.
You automatically break the bubble.
Yeah, but level 4 or 1.
Let's not lie, because you know we've been bringing it behind closed doors.
The biggest example when we're talking about that comes to mind for me is Black Panther. You know, you're looking at a black director, you know, black cast and that, and what did I think, well over $1 billion that it grossed worldwide, and, you know, showing that, you know, even at that level of Hollywood, where it's like, hey, you know, man, let us tell our stories because, you know, nobody can do it better than us.
Yeah.
I suppose for me, you know, as we come to a close, what's the best piece of advice that you were given, or the best piece of advice going through your career since 2002, you know, to where you are now, for, you know, our aspiring Pacifica actors, Dominic?
Yeah, so...
Say money first.
What's that?
Say money first. Because that's our parents approve. You want to what? How much? Do it.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Money's great, man. The money is great. The money's good. Yeah. But the best piece of advice I got was from Sam Scott, who was the creative director of Massive, and that's been my institution growing up. I didn't go to drama school or anything, but she and that whole company is really, really tough on making sure that you stand out. And it's a classic thing of the whole tall poppy syndrome, you know, but just trying to crush all of that and like stop being scared to like stop hiding away, because if you hide away, like none of us get to see like how beautiful you can be, you know, and everyone wants to see how beautiful you can be, you know, boy or girl. So just stand up, shine, man. And once you do that, I feel like you give other people permission to do that as well. So we start crushing the whole tall poppy syndrome. So yeah, man, don't hide away.
Nice. And, of course, another, what is it, famous alumni, Mr. Beulah Kuali as well.
Oh, yeah, man.
You know, so it's good. Well, it's been a pleasure. Mr. Dominic Onaariki, thank you so much for joining us this morning. We've been so blessed. All the very best for your ongoing success, young man. And, you know, what is it, maintaining and that's wonderful standard for others to follow in your footsteps.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it.
Iki o manuia.
Cheers.
It is 17 minutes to 9. Glenn Jackson, Goli, 531 PI, Pacific People Together.